thank you for joining us for this edition of the G3 Podcast. I'm excited that you're here. Looking forward to this particular conversation, this particular topic. I think one of the big reasons why is because often as quote-unquote cessationists, we often get pinned with the idea that we don't believe in the miraculous. You know, you guys are those guys who, you know, don't believe in gifts, don't believe in tongues, don't believe in this, don't believe in that. And so it becomes a doctrine of what you don't believe. We've got a conference coming, a cessationist conference. We want people to be there. It's not simply going to be about what the excesses of the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to simply talk about that. We're going to be informing people about the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. So it's incredibly important for people to come and be a part of it and to participate. That conference will be October 3rd through the 5th. We definitely want you to go to g3men.org and sign up. Y'all like how I kind of put that in at the very at the outset?
The church today is infected with the influences of the charismatic movement.
God told me who I would marry.
When God spoke to me, I heard it so clear.
As clear as I'm talking to you now, the Lord spoke to my heart.
God spoke to us audibly.
I hear the audible voice from God.
The word that the Lord gave me.
He told me that everything I was feeling in my spirit was correct.
I know that this is what the Holy Spirit has spoken to me.
That's the word God spoke to me.
Charismatic theology has affected so much of our theology and ways that we don't often recognize.
Man, I tried for years to speak in tongues.
Don't speak in English, don't think English.
Mom briaste cariesta brianda. Yes, the man says it's weird, but the Spirit says, hello, this is awesome.
Fake miracles, false tongues, and non-authoritative prophecy.
A prophet is one who has God's words put in his mouth.
If you are not earnestly desiring spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, you are sinning.
They don't have a single prophet who has been 100% accurate.
What does the New Testament say prophecy is? What does the New Testament say tongues are? What does the New Testament say the gifts of healing are? Let's compare them to the contemporary charismatic Pentecostal movement. And what you find out is the two don't match.
It teaches people to look away from the Bible to some experience.
Deep down, charismatics are riddled with doubts about what they believe.
Is God's word sufficient? Is God's word enough?
Dreams, visions, those sort of things inspired me to love Jesus, to obey him more.
Join us in October of 2024 for the Cessationist Conference. The church must once again stand with a renewed confidence in God's sufficient word. We hope to see you there.
That said, Josh, why don't you tee things up for us? We're going to talk about the Spirit's work today in the life of the believer.
Yeah, I mean, if you just think about the Spirit of God and, you know, we think about the doctrine of the Trinity and you think about the persons of the Godhead and you look at the Spirit of God and you say, well, when we hear the Holy Spirit referenced today, the Holy Spirit is oftentimes abused. Mm-hmm. We'll hear the Spirit of God referenced in the light of maybe giving special abilities that he certainly hasn't given to certain people in our present day, or maybe that they heard the Holy Spirit say to them. I was driving in this morning and just flipping through the radio and heard someone say, yeah, I was struggling with this and I just asked God and I heard the Spirit say to me. And so we hear that language often. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to be honest about, you know, what does the Bible actually say that the role of the Holy Spirit is? Mm-hmm. And then in terms of holding to the doctrine of cessationism, in other words, believing that the gifts of the apostles ceased with the gift of an apostle to the church, that we don't have those apostolic gifts operating today in the life of the local church.
Right.
So does that mean, as you said, that we just need to back up and say, well, I mean, you know, we just don't believe in miracles today, or we don't believe that the Spirit of God is even present today, because if the Spirit of God was present, then we would have speaking in tongues and we would have all these other gifts as well.
Right.
I think that's the wrong view.
Yeah.
I mean, the Spirit of God is so abused today. I remember years ago when I first came back to pastor this church that I grew up in, I had been gone for a number of years and the church, the landscape of the church had changed quite a bit. And I just remember there was a man that I met in the hallway one day, and he was telling me this bizarre story about how he had actually seen the Holy Spirit in our auditorium. Mm-hmm. And I stood there, and I was shocked, number one, that he was actually saying these words to me. Mm-hmm. And then after he finished, I just brutally hurt his feelings by communicating as gently as I possibly could that whatever it was that he thought he saw in our auditorium, mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the look on his face, like that I would even dare say to him
sure.
that it wasn't the Spirit of God
sure.
Was shocking to him. Now, it should be no shock at all that he's no longer a member of our church, almost 14 years later. Mm-hmm. But he didn't leave that day, but it would probably be maybe 5 years later that through the preaching of the Word of God, he just could not grasp the things that I was saying and would not receive it, and he ended up leaving. But I just share that simple story to just say that we need to understand the Spirit of God is presently at work in our lives mm-hmm. individually mm-hmm. and corporately as a church yeah. on a daily, regular basis, and we need to celebrate that.
Right.
It's a minimalist view, is it not, to think that the Holy Spirit only is involved in this miraculous tongue speaking? If you call it, I put the miraculous in air quotes, right? Or this idea of apostolic prophecy, which we no longer. That's a minimalist view, and the reason I say that is because the Spirit is at work in so many areas right. of our lives in such an intricate and detailed way that those things overshadow. They're not even real, and yet they're over for the vast majority of evangelicalism. Not just the Pentecostal corner, but the vast majority of evangelicalism is looking for the Spirit to do things that the Spirit is not even given the authority or ability to do right. according to Scripture.
Right.
The view should be of what does the Bible say is the work of the Spirit.
Yep.
We celebrate, amplify that, and recognize that in our lives.
Yeah, I think that's really the key. There's this expectation or this assumption today by many, many evangelicals that if the Holy Spirit is working, it will by necessity be something extraordinary and visibly manifested in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. Has the Holy Spirit worked in that way? Sure, he has. We see those examples in Scripture of him empowering prophets and apostles, of him gifting individuals with the gift, the ability to perform miracles or tongues or these sorts of things. The Holy Spirit does do that. But if you actually look at how the Scriptures describe the ordinary work of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. it's not those sort of extraordinary things. And people hear us say the word ordinary and they think, oh, well, you don't think the Holy Spirit is working. But just because the Holy Spirit is working in what we might describe as ordinary ways, meaning this is how he normally works,
right.
doesn't mean it's any less divine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These things are things that would not happen except that the Holy Spirit does them. And if you trace those ordinary works, which I've done, I've looked at every verb in the Old and New Testament attributed to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are cases, certainly, where some of those actions of the Spirit are extraordinary, visible manifestations. But by far, the majority of the work of the Holy Spirit is not those extraordinary, visible things. They are ordinary works in the lives of God's people. Mm-hmm. But again, we have to stress that doesn't mean they're not amazing.
Right.
It doesn't mean they're not supernatural. It doesn't mean that they're not worthy of praise and honor. And I'm afraid that if we're constantly seeking after these extraordinary things, we're actually missing mm-hmm. the amazing works that the Holy Spirit is daily working
yeah.
in the lives yeah. of his people.
When I think about the role of the Spirit in my life as it pertains to sanctification, any one of us should be thinking, man, there's a lot of work taking place for me to abhor the sin that I used to enjoy. That's a miraculous work.
Right. Yeah.
We minimize things like salvation.
Yeah.
Those who are leaning into the miraculous gifts are seeking something out there that is temporal.
Yeah.
If you got healed from a sickness, guess what? You're still going to die. Mm-hmm. We should be celebrating, amplifying the Spirit's work in justification.
Sure.
A regenerated heart, a sanctified heart that wants to do right mm-hmm. according to the Word of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think in a lot of mercy ministry, what you see is a lot of charismatics that are going in there and instead of engaging with the truth of the Word of God, that would result in the power of the gospel unleashed upon, you know, dead souls, that, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ, that they would be regenerated, that they would be brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. What you end up seeing is, like in jail ministries, like my father-in-law here in our own community is the chaplain in the local jail. And when he went in there, it was just overrun by a lot of charismatics that were going in with oil, trying to anoint people and trying to teach them to speak in tongues, trying to teach them to you know, do certain things moved by the Spirit of God. And once he became the chaplain, he just completely reorganized the entire ministry to say, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to go in there, and we're not going to assume, first of all, that everyone in there is a Christian, and we're going to teach them the Word of God patiently. We're going to pray for God to awaken them to the truth. And you know what? If God awakens them to the truth, that is miraculous.
It's miraculous.
And that is normative in the sense of ordinary. Yes. This is the way that the Spirit of God is working today.
Right.
And we need to celebrate that.
Right, absolutely. That's how He's working each and every day. And we need to recognize all of the works of God involve the Holy Spirit bringing them to completion. Nothing would happen. No person would be saved. No person would be sanctified except for the Holy Spirit's work. We know we focus on Christ's work for good reason, right? Salvation wouldn't happen except for the atoning work of Christ. But salvation was planned by the Father. It was accomplished by the Son, but then it is applied and brought to completion by the Holy Spirit. So nobody would come to accept the gospel except for the fact that the Holy Spirit is working His work every single day. Nobody would come under conviction of sin without the work of the Holy Spirit. Nobody would even recognize Scripture as God's authoritative word without the work of the Spirit. That's the Spirit's work of illumination by which he communicates to us, this is God's word, you need to submit to it. We wouldn't submit to it except that the Holy Spirit works, and that is a continual work in the life of a believer. And then, as we've already said, we wouldn't abhor our sin, we wouldn't actively pursue holiness except that the Holy Spirit within us is empowering us in our sanctification. None of those things would happen except that the Holy Spirit is actively at work each and every day.
It's good.
Yeah, in fact, a good point to make on that subject would be this. Suppose I was an expert in a specific field, you know, and I wrote a definitive book on that subject. What would you think if people were consistently looking for and coming to me with questions about that subject matter? Do you think that I would be pointing them in other directions, or do you think I would be pointing them to the book that I wrote? And so the Spirit of God has written this book through 40 different human authors over 1,500 years and has provided us this authoritative, sufficient book called the Bible. And so it would be foolish for us to believe that we should spend our time asking the Holy Spirit or that the Spirit of God, or assuming that the Spirit of God would be empowering us to look beyond the pages of Scripture to these experiences or these other, you know, emotional stirrings or whatever it might be to serve, or be looking for the Spirit of God to give us answers outside of the Bible. It just seems odd.
It is. I think about what you man just laid out as it pertains to the, you know, the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer, and how intricate that is, how intricate a work that actually is. But instead of examining that, understanding that, and growing in our understanding of that through the Word, people are seeking these experiences with gold dust, right? Coming out of the sky. I mean, I kind of grew up in the time frame where those quote unquote phenomenon were actually happening, and people
capture a lot of that.
I didn't get a lot of that. No, in fact, if it was gold, I wish I would have captured some of it. But you know, it wasn't. That wasn't. You know, I've seen all kinds of crazy kinds of things. People howling, and I mean, all those kind of caricatures that you see on YouTube. Many of those that were captured in video. Not that I was in the crowd at the time of the video, but I was in those places, and that was the focus. It was this outward experiential thing that never translated to how I should live my life. Right. And so what you had oftentimes in those settings would be people would have to rededicate their lives to the Lord over again and having, because their natural lives were not being, you know, moved by the Spirit in such a way where they were, where they were seeking
God. And then it
God.
Becomes this sort of high you're addicted to, and if you don't have it, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's so important that we emphasize the inherent connection between the Spirit's work and the Word that he inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he does is connected to the Word that he inspires. Mm-hmm. He convicts of sin through his Word. He regenerates hearts through the preaching of the Word. He sanctifies believer through the Word. Even something like, you know, when Paul says be filled with or by, the preposition can go either way in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, be filled, I would say the better word is by the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at the parallel passage, Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. So the Spirit fills us not with some sort of smoke or ghostly presence or mystical experience. No, the Spirit fills us with his Word.
Absolutely.
That is the power of God unto salvation, and that is the power of God unto sanctification.
It absolutely is, and that's critical. Again, we want to major on the sufficiency of God's Word. Either God's Word is sufficient or it's not. Some time back, there was this this church locally here, not far from our church campus, that had this Bible that was miraculously leaking oil.
I remember those days.
Yeah, and they had this Bible in this big canister, this big, you know, plastic container, and it was secreting oil, and it would fill up, and they would drain it, and then they would bottle it up, and then they would send it off to people who would donate money. And this oil was to be used for miraculous anointing and so on and so forth. And the idea is that there's a connection between oil and the Spirit and the Scriptures, and that the Spirit of God wrote the Bible. And so this Bible, this was a miracle of God. I mean, it was excreting oil from the pages. And so, as you can imagine, over time, as it was hitting the news and it was in the newspaper and it was, you know, just right down the road here in this community, I told my wife, I said, if they would allow me, I could prove within 24 hours that this is all just a scam. Mm-hmm. Just let me sit in the room overnight for 24 hours and allow no one to walk in and pour any oil into that container, and I will prove that it's just a hoax.
Yeah.
Well, over time, that's exactly what happened. It was found out that it was just a scam altogether. Mm-hmm. And it resulted in splitting this church. Mm-hmm. Plenty of people left and went to other charismatic churches. I tried to encourage them to come to non-charismatic churches, mm-hmm. because here's the problem. The problem is that they were using a Bible in a clear container, supposedly excreting oil that they could then bottle up and use for whatever purpose. Why not just take that Bible and put it on a pulpit and open the pages and turn the pages and preach the words that are printed there in God's sufficient Word?
Absolutely. That's amazing. I unfortunately witnessed a great deal of that in my time back in the day, and watching people do these things. What blows me away, Josh, about stories like that, and there are numerous, is that people don't fear God more than that. Like, there's a day coming when you will answer to a holy God for blaspheming what you claim God did, right? I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. The other thing that I thought about as you were telling that story is how many preachers are not, many preachers in those circles are not engaged in any kind of expository preaching. And so because of that, you mentioned all of the things that the Holy Spirit using the Word does in our lives, what happens is they're deficient, they're Word deficient. Mm-hmm. They've heard some cool story or some laughable joke or, something from the pastor's life that is not germane to bringing God's Word to bear on the life of the believer. And as a result of things like that, they live weak lives that don't align themselves with Scripture. And so it's important for us to get back to that. As we begin to kind of land the plane on this topic, I'm hopeful that you are edified. It's a blessing for me to be here and even hearing this, having the background that I've had, listening to these men kind of walk us through what does God's Word say is the actual work of the Holy Spirit and for us to begin applying ourselves to that word. Josh, as we begin to wrap things up, any final thoughts that you have about the subject?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not Casper the Friendly Ghost. Mm-hmm. He is not a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. He's not some sort of like, you know, secretive force that's running around and, you know, zapping people to do things in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is God. Mm-hmm. He is co-equal. He is co-eternal. He is one with the Father. He is one with the Son. And you can't separate the Spirit from Christ, nor can you separate the Spirit from God the Father. Mm-hmm. So that's why when we read the creeds and confessions of church history, you don't see language of separate, you see language of distinct. Three distinct persons that are co-equal and co-eternal. Mm-hmm. So in other words, there never has been a time when the Spirit of God was not. There has never been a time when the Spirit of God was not. So when we have this, you know, this New Testament moment at Pentecost, when you see that Jesus is telling the disciples to stay there in Jerusalem until the Spirit of God comes upon them, it's not as if the Spirit of God was just created at that moment. Mm. The Spirit of God, you can see from the early pages of Genesis all the way through Revelation, always has been, always will be, and we can never separate the persons of the Trinity.
Yeah, man, that's good. All of that is good stuff. It's helpful, again, to walk through. We often hear the idea that cessationists are telling you what the Spirit can't do, right? We just spent an entire time, a podcast at least, talking about what the Spirit can do and will do according to God's Word in the life of the believer. We're hoping that you are edified as a result. Please like, subscribe, share this particular podcast with others far and wide, and join us. If you haven't already, download the G3 Plus app. You'll definitely want to take advantage of all of the myriad of resources that we have in that space. Go to plus.g3men.org, download the app, and join us. And again, thank you so much for joining us for this edition of the G3 Podcast.